Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desiring, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Purport. A living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This state of existence is called Brahma-bhuta, or Atmanandi, or the state of self-satisfaction. This self-satisfaction is not like the satisfaction of the inactive fool. The inactive fool is in the state of foolish ignorance, whereas the self-satisfied Atmanandi is transcendental to the material state of existence. This state of perfection is attained as soon as one is fixed in irrevocable devotional service. Devotional service is not inactivity, but the unalloyed activity of the soul. The soul's activity becomes adulterated in contact with matter, and as such, the diseased activities are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankering, inactivity, foolishness, and sleep. The effect of devotional service becomes manifest by complete elimination of these effects of passion and ignorance. The devotee is fixed at once in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress to rise to the position of Vasudeva, or the state of unmixed sattva, or shuddha sattva. Only in this shuddha sattva state can one always see Krishna eye to eye by dint of pure affection for the Lord. A devotee is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness. Therefore, he harms no one. But the non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. A devotee is neither foolish nor passionate. The harmful, foolish, and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord. However, they may advertise them as devotees by outward dress. A devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. Quantitatively, such qualities may be different, but qualitatively, both the Lord and his devotee are one and the same. Tadava jastamo bhava kama lobhada yastraye cheta etaya anavidam stitam sattve prasidati. The previous verse said that by regular service to the Bhagavat, Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya, one develops bhakti, naishtiki bhakti. This is nishta, the middle stage, midpoint of devotional development. The point beyond which your progress is, as Prabhupada says, irrevocable. You cannot, well, you could, but you generally will not fall down after achieving nishta. The main reasons for falling down: lack of faith and material attraction have been dealt with. By anartha nivritti, or giving up one's contamination, one achieves the stage of nishta. When one is fixed in determination, fixed in dedication to Krishna's service, a man who is steadfast will not give up his determination. And it's rare that someone comes to this stage of determination in Krishna consciousness. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. It's by constant service to the sound Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam. Kapila Dev describes it. Mana Shraya Katam Vishta Shunvanti Katayanti Cha Tapanti Vividasta Panaitan Madgota Chitasa. Similar to Krishna's description in the Gita. These devotees who are fixed, you may ask, a question may be there, how do you know that a person is fixed in devotional service? How can you see the sign of Nishta? Kapila Dev is telling that. They are absorbed in hearing and chanting, Shrinvanti Katayanti Cha, the sweet, all attractive narrations about Krishna. Mad Ashraya. And the devotees who are thus absorbed in hearing and chanting Krishna Katha, not sour Krishna Katha, coming out of the mouths of materialists and Mayavadis, but sweet Krishna Katha, as heard from the pure devotees. Otherwise, there's rasa bhasa, the sour taste. Person who is materialistic, he will impose his materialistic attitude on the leelas of Krishna, and you'll get a sour taste. So not sour Krishna Katha, but sweet Krishna Katha. Just like you have a nice sweet rice, you leave it another day, it becomes sour, unpalatable, ruined, just by becoming old. So Krishna Katha becomes old in the mouths of the materialist and the Mayavadis. Shrinvanti Katayanti Cha. Because they're absorbed in hearing and chanting, the fixed up devotees, the determined devotees, are not affected by material distress. Vividatapa are there. Various kinds of troubles are there in anybody's life in this world. Illness is there. Disturbances created by various sources are always there. But tapanti vividatapa naitam, they don't suffer these causes for suffering. They tolerate them. Or if they're very advanced, they don't even feel them. They don't even notice them. Madgata chetasa, because to various degrees they are completely immersed in thought of Krishna and in activity for Krishna. And that to that degree, to whatever degree they're so absorbed, they're not affected by distress. Either they can manage to tolerate, or if they're more absorbed, they don't even notice. What would drive another person crazy? The very fixed up devotee doesn't even notice. What does speak of, did that bother you too much? What? I didn't even notice it. So, here it's being described similarly by Sutta Goswami, the symptoms of someone who has come through the stage of anartha nivritti, has completed it, has cleaned his heart out. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu. Yeah, nasta prayeshu abhadreshu. His anarthas are almost completely gone. Some traces are there. But the bulk of his contamination, his lust, envy, and greed, has been eliminated. And now he can really become determined in the execution of Krishna's service. Stitvam sattva proceeded he. And it is said that he's fixed now in the mode of goodness. Proceeded he. And now he can become satisfied. This is one answer to the question in the previous chapter. What is it? Bruhi Yogeshwara Krishna. No. Bhurini Bhuri Karmani Shotavyani Vibhagasha. Atam sadho trayat sadam. Here's the question. Atam sadho trayat sadam. Samudvitriya Manishaya, use your intelligence and extract the essence of all the instructions of the Vedas and the Vedic literatures. And tell us, based on that scriptural evidence, yena atma supersedati, what is it that will make the soul fully satisfied? And here's an answer. Hearing and chanting about Krishna. Serving the Bhagavatam, the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam. Not just sticking your nose in books all the time, but serving the devotees also. Dual track. You can't run a train on one track. Well, you can. You can have a monorail. But normal trains run on two tracks. You can't take... You have to build... If you want to build a one-track railway, you have to build it specially, design it specially. Trains that run on one track. Quite expensive. Ordinary trains have two sets of wheels. Two parallel wheels. And if you try to run... such a train, an ordinary train on one track, it'll simply derail. It won't run. You need two tracks. So the two tracks we need are to serve the book and the person, both. We may be bookish people. We may be the kind of person who prefers to be involved with books than to be involved with people. So we have to make a special endeavor. If we're too much one way or the other, we have to make a compensate by conscious endeavor. If we like to read books or we don't like to deal with devotees, we have to consciously compensate for that. We go out of our way to serve the devotees. Or vice versa, if we're a communicator and a socializer, but we don't like to read, we should make a conscious effort to do some reading anyway, to have a balanced program. Serve both the Bhagavats. Then we become fixed in what is called here sattva, but Prabhupada clearly identifies it not as material sattva, Vishuddha sattva. How can devotional service, after everything that's been said about it, then be characterized as being in the material mode of goodness? It's not a manifestation of any material mode. Devotional service is coming from the spiritual world. Golokirtan premadona harinama sankirtana. So the primary form for us of devotional service, harinama sankirtan, it's the gift of love descending directly from Goloka. It's not a product of material nature. It doesn't manifest in the material modes. Material goodness is inadequate. Therefore, Prabhupada says here, what is it? But the non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. Education is supposed to bring the qualities of material goodness. Vidya, what? Vidya? Dadati vinayam. Education gives you humility. That means you develop the mode of goodness, but material goodness. Prabhupada says here, non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. That means harmful means functioning in the modes of passion and ignorance. Or even material goodness. Material goodness is also harmful. What harm can goodness do? You don't stab anybody in the back. You're even verbally polite to people. You don't even think bad about people. How can you be harmful? But if you're opposed to the propagation of devotional service, if you have no interest, if you're vimukha, and have no interest in devotional service, then you're doing great harm to yourself and to everybody whom you influence. A person in the mode of goodness can be very influential. He's respected. He's a learned person, a saintly person. Everybody goes to him as an authority. And if that authority does not promote devotional service, if he speaks against devotional service, or even just ignores it, then he's doing great harm to others. And even if he doesn't act as an authority and he keeps to himself, he's doing harm to himself. A devotee, so a non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. That's why we don't recommend, I don't recommend, go to the university to get your education. But if you get your education from non-devotees, you're dealing with harmful, violent people. As peaceful as they may seem, as friendly as they may seem, they're vicious, harmful people. And their association is not good. We should get our education in the association of devotees. You want to have a university, okay, but have a devotee university in Mayapur. Don't go to these hellish, materialistic universities. So, the sentence just before that, Prabhupada said, a devotee is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness. Therefore, he harms no one. Vishuddha sattva, not material goodness. The goodness that is found in Vaikuntha. There are three kinds of substance in the material world. All things are basically made of the three modes. And all the other more complicated elements are just functions of those three modes. Earth is in the mode of ignorance. Water is mixed mode. Ether is in, I guess, in goodness. By combining the modes, they teach this in Vaisheshika philosophy and Samkhya philosophy, two different versions. How the modes combine to make the elements. The most basic components of creation are the three modes. Everything else evolves from them. We also teach that in the Bhagavatam's version of Samkhya. First, the modes of false ego and the modes of nature divide up false ego, and from that come all the elements of creation. So there is multifold sattva. Sattva that evolves into tamas and rajas and all the different permutations of them. 26 elements. And then 100, how many do they have now? 100 and, used to be 103 elements. Now they've got some 117 elements, and then millions of elements. You can buy a chemistry set with hundreds of different compounds in it. But in the spiritual world, there's only one element. Simpler place. Just one element. It's easier to study chemistry in Vaikuntha. There's only one element. Vishuddha sattva. So chemistry is just a study, in Vaikuntha, is just a study of Vishuddha sattva. Because Vishuddha sattva has many effects, many properties. Everything manifests from Vishuddha sattva. It is the basic substance of the spiritual existence. And a devotee who has attained nishta, who is fixed up in devotional service irrevocably, he is situated in Vishuddha sattva. It's like he's pulled his feet out of the cesspool of the material mire, and now his feet are stuck in the cement of Vishuddha sattva. 2 feet in the spiritual world. Right now we're halfway in between. We're struggling with the Nartini Vritti, which seems to be an endless process. We've been trying for decades, and we don't know how many more decades we'll have to keep on trying to go through this single stage of Anartini Vritti. Like an endless stretch, it seems to be. And we've got 1 foot in the sewage and 1 foot in Vishuddha sattva. It's an awkward position. You never know which way you're going to topple over. That's our position now. Embarrassing. Certain if we prosecute our service in the right way. But who knows? We could fall down. Who knows what could happen to us? And this apparently endless phase that seems like for us to go on from before we were born until after we die, We don't know when it started and when it's going to end, this phase of anarta divritti. We lose track that it actually had a beginning. There was a time when we weren't even that far. There was a time when we didn't have a spiritual master. There was a time when we had no faith. But it's so long ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago, 80 years ago, that we can't remember it. Now, we don't know when we'll get to the end of this anarta divritti. Another 2 years, another 200 years, we don't know. But it's all being summarized. The whole phase is being summarized in a simple verse here. This is the picture of our whole life is in this one verse. Tadara jastabhu bhava. This is what we have to look forward to. This is our goal, immediate goal. Like the goal of an army is to win a war, but the war has to be won step by step. In the Battle of Gettysburg, one of the turning point battles of the American Civil War, what's his name? Lee, the Southern general?